We are holding on Nunzlov Amud Beis, second line. We said in the Mishnah that one of the cases of Trefus that applies to a bird is Nafla La'ur, is if the bird fell into a fire and its internal organs got burned or shriveled or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They changed color, basically. We talked about, by the way, the Machlokes are showing him whether that does not apply at all to animals because they're protected by their rib cage and their thicker muscles or whatever, or is it that it could apply to them as well? Just practically speaking, it tends to apply more to birds for that reason, but if you had an animal that also its internal organs were damaged by fire, maybe it would be treif as well.
Mm-hmm. Because also had a rib cage, too.
Well, yeah, but in other words, their rib cage, what we're going to talk about soon, actually, that their rib cage is actually shaped a little differently than an animal's and than a human being's, and that has certain relevance as far as dinim of treifus in their lungs. However, the fact of the matter is, in general, their ribs and the muscles over them and the muscles further down on the body are much thinner than on an animal, so there's much more of a likelihood that if it falls into a fire, the internal organs are going to get damaged. Okay. When we talk about that if one of these internal organs turned green, or greenish, whatever, the amount that would make them treif, if it turns green, is the same as the amount that would make them treif if there was a hole. Man kuvasan b'mashu, so just like with most of the internal organs, even a small hole makes them treif. After you're kuvasan b'mashu, so it also is with turning green as a result of the fire, even if there's only a small area that turned green, it would be treif. Because the idea is similar idea, that when it turns green like that, it means eventually that part is going to end up getting deteriorated and punctured. So therefore, yeah. You actually have, in fact, the Rashba brings a couple of svaras. Are we talking about only if the changed color is only in the superficial layers, or would it have to go all the way to the internal layers to be to make a difference? But that's the basic.
Today,
if you have such a thing, then we're mocking her anyway, yeah, especially because you have opinions that say that even if it's just that if it's just in the superficial layers, right? Okay. Bominir of Yosef Breid Rabbi Shur ben Levi Mir Rabbi Shur ben Levi. Okay, so Rabbi Shur ben Levi's son, Rabbi Yosef, asks him as follows. Now, what would be the din? Now, we've said a few times already that the liver is not one of those organs where a small puncture in it makes it treif. You need a large amount of it to be missing. So what happens if the liver turns green on the side that faces the bnei me'ayim, that faces the intestines? So in other words, well, because the point is like this. You have a couple of different ways that we're showing to explain it. I mean, one, you have an explanation that it's not really connected b'nei me'ayim as in what direction it faces, but rather we're talking about if it changes color to match the b'nei me'ayim. In other words, if it turns the same, I think the Rambam learned that way. For example, if it were to change color similar to the b'nei me'ayim, would that be a problem given that the liver itself is only traced if most of it is made, if it was not a kezias of it left? No, the point of the question is that if you have that changed color, keneged b'nei me'ayim, then so most Rishonim understand keneged b'nei me'ayim to mean on the side that faces towards the b'nei me'ayim. And the question, therefore, is if it changed color in that area, do we have to be concerned that maybe the b'nei me'ayim themselves have also gotten affected by the fire? On the face of it, if the liver changed color like that, then what else would have caused that? Now, on the face of it, whatever caused it would have affected the intestines as well. Amalei treifa. And in fact, Rabbi Shur ben Levi says that it's treifa. So the question is, below yehei elam nipla, why is it any different than the case where the liver was removed? We said that if the liver was removed, as long as the apatizayas in the appropriate places, then it's still kosher. What it is like this, Rava says. Since the liver has changed color and turned green on the side facing the b'nei me'ayim, therefore, we know from that automatically it must have fallen into a fire, and therefore the b'nei me'ayim, the intestines themselves, have gotten damaged. So even though we don't...
Fell in a fire, what do you mean?
That's reasonably exactly what we said in the Mishnah. A bird fell into a fire, and it stayed in there long enough for the internal organs to start getting damaged.
That's not the only case where it would change color.
Okay, so one second. So utrefa, therefore, it would be trefa even though we don't see anything on the b'nei me'ayim. Now, yes, what you're mentioning is actually the subject of machlokas rishonim on the basis of different girsois in the Gemara over here. Are we saying that if you find that if you find a change of color in the liver, we automatically have to assume, even if we never actually saw this bird fall into a fire, does that mean we have to assume, well, the only thing must have been that it fell into a fire and that caused the change in color? In turn, we would say that then in that case, it must have affected the B'nai Me'ayim as well, and that's chafe. That's one way of looking at it. On the other hand, the problem with that is, why should we assume that it fell into a fire when we don't have any evidence of it? Further down on the Amud, we're going to say, Achzuki Reyesa Loi Machzakinim. We don't say that there's a chazaka of a Reyesa, of something having, of there being some kind of problem, unless we see some kind of solid evidence of it. Achzuki Reyesa, to make a chazaka of something that there's a problem, Loi Machzakinim. We don't make such a chazaka. It's the same concept as why, in general, with trefus, you don't have to check most trefus, because most trefus, you don't have any reyesa, you don't have any particular reason to think that there's something wrong with you. So again, you have trefus that are fairly common, like trefus in the lungs, or, for example, nowadays, trefus in the legs of birds or whatever, then you have to check them on a regular basis.
You don't need a reason.
Things that are fairly common, you have to check.
Things that are not
right, things that are not, exactly, that's the point, right. So the question is, so if you're going to tell me that as soon as you see the liver is greenish, and therefore immediately you assume that it fell into a fire, why should you assume that? There could be there could be other things that could make it green that wouldn't necessarily affect the B'nai. So therefore you have other Rishonim who learn differently over here. They say that what the Gemara is saying is not that we know that it fell into a fire. We're talking about, we know, this is a case where we know the bird fell into a fire. The only question is, did the intent, so not like the first version where we don't even know if it fell into a fire, and just because we find the liver green, then that automatically makes us assume that it did. No, they say not necessarily. What it means is, if you know that it fell into a fire, and afterwards you find the liver green, then that's already a reason to suspect that Rava is saying that the intestines may have been affected also. You don't see it, okay, it's not so obvious on the intestines at first, but nevertheless, they may have been affected, and therefore it would be chafe.
Even though you have...
Because you know that it fell into a fire, and therefore you already have a race. If you don't know that it fell into a fire, you do not have to assume that it did.
So then it would be
kosher according to that way of looking at it, right? So yeah, as a matter of fact, for example, you have the Rambam, for example, that if you find if you find the liver is the color of the B'nai Me'ayim or whatever, then you have to assume that it fell into a fire and it's trafe. And the Raivad disagrees on him that based on this, that it doesn't mean that it necessarily fell into a fire. So yeah, that's some of the machlokas Rishonim, and you have other Rishonim that take sides on this.
If you fell in a fire, you would obviously have others in mind.
Not necessarily. It depends how long it's been spent in there. It depends what part of it was closest to the heat.
But if, let's say logically, that part was the closest to the heat,
mm-hmm.
you would have on the outside of the bird something showing that it fell into fire.
Maybe not, but you could also have, for example, let's say some of the feathers will have been singed away, but those could grow back. The point is, a few days later, the feathers will grow back. You wouldn't know the difference, but the damage, the internal damage could be longer term. Okay. Another case, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Havilei Hahu Tanagolus. Rabbi Shurban Levi had a chicken that you had a problem with it, that it had fallen into a fire, and we have to figure out whether it's kosher or not. Shadre the Kamei to Rabbi Lazar Akapa Biribi, so he sent it to Rabbi Lazar Akapa Biribi, which Biribi means Gadol Shabadodo, the greatest person in his generation. Amalei, and he says to him, Yerukin Havu, that
Shadre,
he sent the bird to Rabbi Lazar Akapa Biribi. What? Shadre lekamei de Rabbi Lazar Akapa Biribi. He sent it to Rabbi Lazar Akapa Biribi on the lay, and he says to him, Yerukin Havu, these intestines were green, va'achshara, and he declared that it was kosher. So the question is, what do you mean? V'hanam tunon Yerukin psulin. Our Mishnah had said, if you have things inside are green, then it's kosher. The answer is, loy omri, Yerukin psulin, ela b'kokuvan b'leiv of a kavod. When we say that green is possible, refers to the gizzard or the heart or the liver, which in a live bird, in a healthy bird, are normally red. So those are the things we're talking about. If those turn green, then anything else not. The intestines normally are green. Now, of course, you have the question in that case, what was even the Havamina of the Gemara? And one explanation is the Rashba, I think, says that we've learned before that there's a few different colors that the Gemara uses the word Yoruk for, including green and yellow and maybe even blue. So therefore, it might have been that there were, you know, we found that it was a different shade of green than you would expect it to be, but nevertheless, that doesn't make it change. We learned similarly in Ebraica, which kind of internal organs are we talking about that if they turn green, then the bird is traced? For Kukulun, Belaver, Bekovid, the gizzard, the heart, and the liver, but not the intestine. Another case, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef Havalei Ahutan Agur. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef also had a chicken that there was a problem and had fallen into a fire. We need to do a bedikah on it. Shadra Kameh de Rabbi Bohu. So he sent it to Rabbi Bohu for examination. Va'omalei, and he tells him, Rabbi Bohu tells him, Adrumin Havu, the organs were red. V'tarfa, and he declared it trace. So the question is, V'hanan T'nan Adrumin Kshedim. Our Mishnah had said that if they're red, they're kosher. And again, the answer is Amalei Adumim Shahiriku Viyurukin Shahadim Utrefa. If Adumim Shahiriku, if you have organs that are normally red, for example, the heart or the liver, Shahiriku, that turn green, then that would be traced, but also the other way around. Even though the Mishnah doesn't specify it, that's what it means. Viyurukin Shahadim, also organs that are normally green, like the intestines, if they turn red, then it's also Trefa. Loy Omra, Adumim Kshayram, Ela Belay Fakokavan over covered. What do we mean? That it's kosher. If it's red, it means things like the heart, the gizzard, and the liver. So if anything switches around color, then it's chicken.
That's right.
With that said, I mean, you have the Rambam mentions in Pirush HaMishnayos and different other Rishonim talk about, you have, depending on the particular species of bird, you have some kinds, for example, that have naturally green livers. So, okay, with those kinds, obviously, it's not chicken. But you have to know the particular species. Suppose you have the organs that are supposed to be red, for example, the heart, which turned green, which so far we said they'd be chased, but the shulkan, but then you cooked them, and then the cooking made them turn red again, then they would be kosher, the bird is kosher. Why did they change color? My timer, why is that? Because evidently what happened was, kutra oil bahu, to begin with what happened was they were affected by smoke, the bird had inhaled some smoke, and this one, by the way, Yavrishonim will say, this particular one might refer to animals as well, because even four-legged animals sometimes can suffer from smoke inhalation, so that could cause the organ to superficially change color, but then when you cook it, you see it gets back its natural color, so then therefore that shows that it's kosher. That shows that it was only a matter that it inhaled some smoke. That wasn't enough.
You have to know that it inhaled smoke.
No, not necessarily, but pasture.
So how would you make a difference?
So that's the thing. So if you brought a case of a bird where you have, for example, the heart or the liver or whatever, which is green, before you declare it today, cook it first. See if it turns back to the right color. If you do, then you know that it was just a superficial thing. And Omer of Nachme, Tuk Afanan Neumar, by the same logic, we should say the other way around. By the way, in that line over there about Adumim Shahiriku, we have a number of different gyusos. The Rishonim, does it apply the other way around also? Does it apply to organs that are supposed to be green, where you find them red and so forth, or maybe does it apply in only one direction? Or yeah. Okay. Amr of Nachmi, talk Afanan Noimar. There's another thing we can say in that case. Logically, we should be able to deduce the other way around. Adumim Shaloi Hariku, suppose you have a bird that's known to have fallen into fire, let's say, and you find that the organs that are supposed to be red did not turn green. So far, it sounds like good. So far, so good. What's the problem? But the shulkan, vahiriku, but then what happened is you cooked them and they changed color and they turned green. You would have to argue terefa. By that logic, you would have to say terefa. My timer, iglai batasaihu, because now what happened is the cooking revealed their shame. In other words, it's the opposite of the previous case. The previous case, they changed color, and the cooking restores them to their original color. That shows the change of color was superficial. Here, it's the other way around. If you cook them, and they turn the opposite color than they're supposed to, then it shows that really all along they were damaged, and you didn't see it at the beginning, and the cooking was needed in order to bring that out. And that's in fact how it is. In fact,
you have to cook them.
You don't have to. So that's the next thing. Amar Rav Ashi Hilchos. Rav Ashi says, well, based on that logic, we should have to say lo lechol inish ela b'shlaka. You should have to say that a person should be allowed to eat. If you have a bird that fell into fire, the only way you should be able to eat it is if you first cook the internal organs. However, the Gemara says v'loihi. That detail is not like that. What Rav Ashi said is not correct off the halacha. Achzuki reyes, aloy machzukin. And again, we are not machzik a reyes or whether it isn't. Yes, the bird fell into fire, but there's only a problem if organs changed color. If we don't see that they changed color, we're not obligated to cook them and in order to see whether they change color. If you cook them, like Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying, and they change color, well, yes, it'll be changed. Not necessarily. First of all, shaluk. Well, first of all, you're not going to necessarily cook the internal organs at all. You may just throw them away, as they do now. Or you may feed them to animals or whatever, which is a common enough thing. Speaking of, by the way, before, when we were talking about the case involving the liver and the B'nai Me'ayim, we were saying that if the liver changed color, it means the B'nai Me'ayim have been affected also. Part of the machlokes we're showing them about it is, why don't we just check the B'nai Me'ayim? And one possibility is maybe we're talking about, is the Gemara talking about where the B'nai Me'ayim are not available anymore? Or is it saying that we may not have to check it at all? Because a common thing is, you know, like in that case we talked about at the beginning of the parak, of the girl who was opening up a chicken and threw the intestines to the calf, and then the question was what she had done with the heart, whether there was a heart there or not. It's a very common thing. As soon as you open up the chicken, as soon as you open up the bird or whatever, you throw the intestines to whatever pests or whatever animals are sitting around. So therefore, like some of the Rishonim say, therefore the Gemara may not have even bothered mentioning the question, should you look at the intestines to see whether they've been damaged or not in that case? Because typical cases, you don't have them available. Anyway, the point is over here, the same thing. Not necessarily you're going to have them available. Rav Ashi is arguing that in this case you should have to save them and have to cook them in order to make sure that they don't change color. However, the Gemara is saying not so. We're not machzik a reyusa problem if we don't have evidence of one. As long as we don't have evidence that anything changed color, we're not obligated to cook those internal organs in order to see whether they change color. If you do cook them and they change color, then yeah, Rav Nachman Yitzchak applies and the bird would be terech. But you're not obligated. You don't have to cook them to be. Even if you know that something happened, as long as when you opened up the chicken, the bird, whatever, you didn't see any evidence of the damage by fire, you're not obligated to see, well, will some damage come out if we cook these organs?
So you need two conditions.
So you need two conditions. The fact that it fell into the fire
Then
you should try cooking it, see if they change color back to the original, and then like the Braise said, it would be good. Yeah. Oh, no, not the Braise, so like Rav Shmuel Bar Chiya said. Yeah, basically. Okay, then we said in the mission of Durs of a Turf of a Kosa, so we had a case if a person stepped on a bird or if he knocked it against the wall. So we said you have to check, we said that if the bird was mefarkeses, it was moving around convulsively, but it didn't actually get up and walk, then we said that as long as it survives for 24 hours, then it's good. But Omer of Elazar ben Antignus, Mishum of Elazar ben Yerabianai, Achasu v'Achasu tircha b'dika. Either way, whether 24 hours have passed or not, even so, you need to do b'dika, because again, internal organs may have been damaged or crushed or what have you. And in particular, the Rambam writes about it. Something that we've talked about this before in connection with the similar case with an animal. That sometimes you have damage that's not visible right away. It takes 24 hours for it to become obvious. Again, if the bird got up and walked, then you have no issue. Incidentally, the Rambam points out that this is why the Mishnah didn't mention the case of a bird falling off a roof like we did with an animal, because if a bird falls off a roof, normally it's just able to pick itself up and walk off. The only the case we'd have over here where there might be crushed organs is more typically, like we said over here, like somebody stepped on it or an animal stepped on it or he knocked it against the wall. But even if it couldn't fly, let's say usually birds are sort of smaller creatures, right. Usually they're able to survive falls that larger creatures wouldn't. Mishnah says, the Eluk Sheiris Boi, the following cases where the bird will be kosher, most of them parallel to the previous one. Nikra HaGagera.
The word treif does mean that it means really that an organ has been punctured or something.
It means that one of the eight major categories of treifus that we discussed has happened to it.
So Goyshanit is not really treif.
No, we often use, that's true, we often use nowadays, we often use the word treif more generally to mean anything that's not kosher. But you're right, that's narrowly speaking, treif means what we've been discussing in this parable.
What would you say about meat that's not kosher? How you would
call it? It could be nevela because it wasn't shechted properly. It could be behemoth tmeya because it comes from non-kosher species, right. Whatever.
It's not treif, strictly speaking.
Exactly, yeah. All right, Mishnah says, the Eluk Sheiris Boi, the following cases are kosher with a bird. Number one, Nikra HaGageres, if there's a hole in the windpipe, smaller than the amounts we said, an Easter or whatever, Ocean Nistica, or if it was cracked along its length and was a little bit intact at the top and bottom, because we said then the bird stretches its neck and eventually the crack heals. Another case, hits a hold al rosha. If a weasel hit the bird on the head, meaning it bit it, but unlike in the previous case, makom she'eino osa treifa, in a place where it wouldn't make it treif, and part of the head, in other words, where the membranes of the brain are not right underneath that. So like here, for example, and then let's say over here, Another case, nikav hazefet. Another case would be if there's a hole in the crop. The crop is, you can see over here. You have you can see over there. You can also see over here.
Right.
In down that part way down the esophagus of a bird, in most species of birds, you have a pouch inside the neck of the bird.
Right.
What happens is, but again, because a bird doesn't have teeth, the food has to be softened up somehow before it gets digested. So it goes into the crop. It doesn't actually. What happens is it just sits in there for a while and starts getting softened. It starts it starts getting softened in there, and eventually it gets out of the crop and goes into the gizzard and gets ground up.
It's a bit like behemoths also, no?
So actually, you do have Rishonim who talk about that the zephyr might be sort. It's sort of in that sense analogous to the first stomach of an animal. Yeah, because which is the carcass. Because also the food sits in there for a while and starts getting softened. It's a different kind of thing, but yeah, it's similar. So nikav hazefek. So if you have a hole in the zefek, the Mishnah is saying that the bird is still kosher. Rabbi Omer, after the mitzal, Rabbi says even if the entire zefek was removed, even if the entire crop was removed, like this, you know, would you have if it was removed, then Rabbi is saying the bird is still kosher. Okay, you have Rishonim will say that it doesn't necessarily mean if the entire thing was removed. The Ran, for example, says, because then that's the thing. The Ran says if the entire thing was removed, food is going to spill out into the body cavity. What we mean is, in other words, most of it was removed, but there's enough intact left of it for the food to be able to pass down. So okay, the fact that it can't stop in that area for a while doesn't make the bird trade. Again, it just means it'll be a little malnourished. It won't get the maximum nourishment out of its food, but it won't kill it. Another case, Yotsu Bnei Me'er V'Lo Niklu. Another case would be if the intestines of the bird came out of the body, but they did not get punctured. In other words, for example, when a bird is laying eggs, let's say it's straining at it or whatever, and it causes like a prolapse, and then some of the intestines stick out of it. Or you could have a case, let's say, where some of the abdominal muscles have gotten ripped, and then some of the intestines are sticking out, whatever. As long as they don't have a hole in them, and also we'll see in the Gemara, we'll see another condition on it, another caveat on it. Another case, nishkabru gapeha, if the wings of the bird were broken, so the wings are not in and of themselves a vital organ, therefore the bird is kosher.
How is the bird going to feed himself if he cannot fly?
You know, it can walk around on the ground and feed itself, or you can force feed it, or whatever. Same way as we had an animal that's missing its lower jaw. However, with that said, the Rishonim do talk about, though, it really depends. There are a couple of conditions on that. First of all, if the wings are broken too close to the body, then they may then the lungs may have gotten punctured. So then you have a problem. But also, for that matter, even if it's a little further away, but the end of the break is sharp. Same problem. So when we say over here nishtabru gapeha, what we mean is where it's far enough away from the body, far enough away from the thorax, and where there's no sharp edges, so therefore there's no problem that the lungs may have gotten punctured. By the way, interesting, the Alter Rebbe points out that the Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya the idea of pichsida, the Kabbalah pichsida, says the idea that the mitzvahs are like a mitzvah, the Torah and mitzvahs that a person studies and does are like a bird, and it has wings of av of a year. So we're saying over here that if the wings are broken, for that matter, we'll talk about if the wings are dislocated, the bird is still kosher. The same way, a mitzvah is still a mitzvah, and it without av of a year, it just can't fly up. It just can't fly up to Shemayim, to the Olam HaSelyonim, but nevertheless, it still is a mitzvah in and of itself. Okay. Another case, Nishtabru Ragleha, another case where the bird would be kosher would be if its legs are broken, which we'll see in the Gemara exactly where we're talking about. That's kosher, yeah. Another case, Nimritu Knafeha, another case would be if its feathers have been pulled out. Rabbi Yehuda says, fine, the large feather is okay, but if the down that's all over the bottom, so knafeha means the large feather that it uses in flying. You have on a bird, you have two types of feathers. You have the large ones that have a quill in the middle of them. You have the large feathers that have a quill. No, but that's the thing. You have the large ones that have quills in them, and then you have the small ones, the down ones, where okay, they have a tiny quill in them, but whatever. They're basically like fluff.
Mm-hmm.
So the Chachamim, the Tanakhama in our Mishnah is saying that if the large feathers are removed even from all over the body, the bird is still kosher. Rabbi Huda is saying, if the small feathers, the down, all over the body was removed, notes it would be the down.
The down,
which is the little tiny feathers that are closer to the body. The difference being, basically, the large feathers are not so much in order to keep the body warm; they're more in order to aid the bird in flying. They're streamlined to make it be able to fly. The small feathers are more to keep it warm. So Rabbi Huda is saying that if those were removed, then it's possible, and it's today, because he would say that that's the equivalent of the skin being stripped off on an animal that we talked about the other day. Okay, does it mean he's arguing with the Tanakhama? Does it mean not? Tosfos seems to be saying that he's actually arguing. Yeah, okay. We'll deal with it in the
Gemara. That's right.
Not, right. The Tanakhama may only be talking about right. The Tanakhama may only be talking about the large feathers, and Rabbi Huda adds a detail about the small feathers, or it might be that he's arguing. Right. Okay, we'll see later in the Gemara. All right. We learned in a Braisa. Let's talk about this case in the Mishnah about the Zefek, about the crop, where we said that the Tanakhama had said if the crop has a hole, then the bird is still kosher. And Rebbe said even if the crop is removed as a whole. So, Tanarabon, Maisa, but of Simoy, but of Tzadik, it happened once with her Simoy and Tzadik, Shahochul Aber Shana Balud. They went to Lud to declare an Ibriyar. So what it is the original thing was supposed to be that Kiddush HaChodesh
is a Ibriyah.
Well, that's true. But nowadays, it's pre-calculated long in advance. Hillel HaNasi calculated it hundreds of thousands of years in advance. But in those times, they had to decide on it on an ad hoc basis. And the idea is, it was supposed, Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibriyah Shana, both of them, are really supposed to be done in Yehuda, in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Originally, they were done in Yerushalayim, after the Churban in Yavne, and so forth. Eventually, there came a point where the Chachamim had to move to the Galil because of the Romans, because of Roman persecution or whatever, but they still, the Romans were in the Galil as well, but they bothered the Chachamim a little less there.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, but nevertheless, they would make an effort to go to Yehuda for Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibriyah Shana. There's actually a Gemara elsewhere, a Yerushalmi, I think, that talks about that in Rebbe's time.
Galil was what?
The Galil is the northern part of
Israel. No, which Shevet?
By this time, we're talking after the second Churban. All the Shavuot are mixed up anyway. But initially, it would have been the area of Zvulun, of Asher, of Naphtali, that whole region, basically. Anyway, the point is, eventually, it was too dangerous to do Kiddush HaChodesh in Yehuda, so they had to move that to the Galil as well. But at least Ibriyah Shana, which takes place only once every couple of years, they still made an effort to keep it in Yehuda. Okay, so Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Tzadik went to Lud to declare an Ibriyah over there. The Shavsu ba'Onoi, they spent Shabbos in Onoi, which is a city near Lod. V'hodu b'tarpachas kerebi b'zefek. And while they were there in Onoi, they paskined regarding the tarpachas like Rebbe about the zefek. Tarpachas, we said yesterday, is one of the names for the womb of an animal. So they paskined regarding the tarpachas like Rebbe paskins about the zefek. So we have to figure out, what does that mean? Ibolu. Does it mean hodu b'tarpachas le'isura Kerebi b'zefek lahatera? Does it mean that they said like this? Does it mean that they passed in two different cases? Number one, they were asked about if an animal had its womb removed, and they passed in that it's osur. And number two, kerebi b'zefek lahatera.
It doesn't endanger their life.
One second. Rashi and Tosfos both refer to a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that says that one time they asked Rav Taufan to the Shaila, and Rav Taufan decided that it was a treif, and in fact had a chilul l'klavim. He actually took the animal and fed it to the dogs, holding that it was treif. And afterwards, actually, he found out. He's informed. Rabbi Akiva, I think, informs him that that's a mistake. That the womb is not a vital organ. Yeah. So, in fact, in Sanhedrin, the context over there is discussing the question, if a dayan makes a mistake in halacha, is he obligated to repay? Anyway, the point is, so one possibility then is that maybe these two chachamim, Rav Simoyon and Rav Tzadik Paskin, like Rav Tyson, that if the womb was removed, the animal's treif. And another thing was, Terebi Bezefik Lahakera. Then they were also asked, what if a bird has its crop removed? And in that, they Paskin, like Rebbe, that they were matter it. Is that what it means? Or maybe it means, or maybe what it means is that, or maybe what it means is they paskin, in only one case, they were asked about the womb, and they paskin that it's kosher, just like Rebbe holds about the zefek, that if the zefek was removed, that it's kosher. So what does it mean? Which would
Rebbe
mean?
Rebbe says
in our Mishnah that if the zefek is, that if the crop as a whole is removed, it's kosher.
Nothing stays from the...
Well, again, we said the Ran says a little bit of it if it has to stay enough to allow food to pass down, but whatever. The point is, so does it mean maybe that... So what is it? Are we saying that they paskin on... does it mean that they paskin on two different things? One about the tartachas, about the womb, and they were machmir, and the other one about the zefek, and they were makel. Or does it mean they were asked only one shaila about the tartachas, and they were master it? They said, similar to the way Rebbe says about the zefek, that if the thing, that if the whole thing was removed, it's kosher, we're saying the same thing as far as the tartachas, that it's mutter. So what is it? Which would mean, that second possibility would mean that they disagree with Rebbe on the zefek itself. They're using it as an analogy to say that the tartachas would be mutter, but not. That's how Rashi learns the question. Tosfos says that, first of all, there's a couple of problems with that. First of all, why would we even think they passed him like a typhon that if the womb was removed, it's kosher? In the Mishnah in Sanhedrin there, we find that Rav Tyfon himself realizes the mistake. These chachamim can't be toya but by Mishnah. They can't not know. Listen, Mishnah.
Rashi saying that.
Okay, so how Rashi explains it is another question. But anyway, the point is that's one problem with Tosfos is. The other question is maybe it means they were matu in both of them. Who says it means they were machmir in one and makel in the other, or only makel in one?
Right.
So Tosfos brings a different gear, in fact, that the question is like this. Is it that maybe, in fact, they were machmir both of them, or is it that they were only machmir the one, the womb, but they would hold, if a case had been brought by about the zefek, they would not have held like Rebbe, they would have been machmir on it.
So we don't know.
And the answer is Kekel. We don't know what they actually have. Well, I mean, in practice, I mean, the halacha is not like Rebbe anyway. I mean, the halacha is like the chachamim. But what it means is, therefore, when it comes to the womb, if it was removed, then it's mutter. When it comes to the zefek, if it was removed, then the halacha is not like Rebbe. The halacha is like the chachamim, that if the zefek was removed, then the bird is trained. Mm-hmm. Only if it was punctured in the kasha. Okay.
So we are making one and not
so we're not right. Almer Rabba, the Tamer of Yeshua, maybe, Gazay shall Zefek nidin kivesh. The roof of the Zefek has the same din as the, of the crop has the same din as the esophagus. So what does that mean? Hecha. What part is considered the roof of the crop, of the Zefek? Almer Bibi, by a kosher nimtach imay. The part that stretches along with it. Now you actually have two different ways of understanding what that means. Stretches with it, Rashi understands that it means like this. The zefek is shaped like a pouch.
Right.
You have a point of it where it starts narrowing towards the vesh. Over here, you can see, you have between these two dotted lines, let's say, you have a part where even though it's technically part of the zefek, it starts narrowing towards the vesh.
Right.
So according to Rashi, that's what we mean.
You're
when
does the food come from?
The food comes from here. Comes from here, the beak of the bird is up here, it goes down over here, it goes into the zefek for a little while.
Right.
So that's the thing. So you have it widens, right? And so looking at it from the other way around, looking at it, you have a large thing, the zefek, that one end narrows towards the vesh. So therefore, so we'd be saying that Rabo, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, is saying that part between those two dotted lines is considered like the vesh itself, unlike the zefek, where the chachamim are saying in our Mishnah that if there's a hole in it, the bird is still kosher. That part would be treated like the esophagus, and even a small hole in it would make it
kosher.
So that, even though it's technically, even though it looks like part of the zefek, it's already considered part of the esophagus as far as the din is concerned.
So it's treif.
So it would be treif with even a small hole. You have a different explanation. Which is that it's basically when the Rambam's explanation is more along the lines of when the bird extends its neck what part of the esophagus moves along with the zephyr? That part is considered gagal shel zephyr. It's considered the roof of the zephyr, where therefore that's considered like the esophagus. So in other words, basically it would mean like the top of it, kind of over here.
Why is this here?
Along the length of it over here, yeah. According to Rashi, again, it would just be the area within these dotted lines. According to Rambam, at least according to the surface meaning of Rambam, it would mean the entire top of the zephyr, like from here to here, basically. Okay. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, Yosu Bnei Me'eha, we said that if the intestines of the bird came out of its body, then as long as they're not punctured, then the bird is kosher. Amr Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. That would only apply, though, if when they were put back into the body, they weren't switched around. In other words, they were put back in exactly the same order and exactly the same shape and whatever as they were originally. But if you turned something around, if you put something in differently, backwards or whatever, differently than it was supposed to be, treifa, then it will be treifa. And Tosfos says the reason is because inevitably, then what will happen is it'll eventually end up rotting away and getting punctured. Because it has a certain way that it's supposed to be shaped in a certain way that it's supposed to be laid out in the body, and therefore if the layout is disturbed, then it's going to end up being punctured.
Mm-hmm. So the layout is not the same?
Yeah. In fact, Rabbeinu Gershom actually says another thing. He learns that hipech basically means not only turned around, it means touch them. So therefore, Rabbeinu Gershom's understanding would be even stricter. If a person touched them in the course of putting them back in, then it would automatically make them safe. I guess you could understand it, because the bacteria from his hands or whatever will inevitably cause it to get infected. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, in other words, the only way it would be kosher is if they withdrew back into the body on their own, which we're going to see soon how such a thing is possible. I don't know what Rabbeinu Gershom doesn't say about that. He just says, sure, yeah. Okay. Now, how do we know that? What makes us say that the layout of the intestines is important, and therefore, if that layout is disturbed, then the bird is treifa? Because you have a pasuk, Hu oscha v'aychon necha. The pasuk says, it's in Hazinu, Hashem created you, and he based you. V'aychon necha is meloshin kan, it's like a base. It means melamed shebara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu koinini yos ba'adam. It means that Hashem made bases, Hashem made that things are supposed to be in a particular base, in a particular layout, in the body, in a human body, and here we're talking about in a bird's body. Shenefach achas mehen en yochol lichis. So therefore it means if these things are not in their proper layout, then the person is not going to be able to live. So we see from that, the same thing with a person, and the same thing with a bird, it has to be laid out exactly as Hashem put it in the body to begin with.
You put them in,
but you have to make sure to put them in back in exactly the same layout that they were. Again, keep in mind, just because something is survivable nowadays doesn't mean it's not trafer. We've already talked about many times that the differences between trafers and modern medicine. First of all, Mishnah Akivim. Second of all, the parameters of trafers were established in the times of the Gemara and they can't be changed. Yeah. Okay.
Are they going to be changed with Mashiach?
Good question, huh? Maybe? Okay. Tanya, how you're Rav Meir? I mean, we learned in a Bryce. Rav Meir said, here's another explanation of this pasuk, Hu oscha v'aychon necha. How you're Rav Meir? Hu oscha v'aychon necha. It has another meaning. Besides that it's talking about the human body, it's also talking about the Jewish people on a national level. Tracha d'kule, Hu oscha, he made you v'aychon necha, and he based you, he established you. Means, tracha d'kule be, meaning the Jewish people are like a city that has everything in it that it needs. Mimenu Koyanov, Mimenu Neviyav, Mimenu Sarov, Mimenu Malachov, from the Jewish people themselves come their Koyanim, their Neviyim, their princes, their noblemen, their kings. In other words, unlike many other nations that have to have, they don't have people among them who are suitable to be kings or noblemen or whatever, and have to import them from other countries.
Right.
The Jewish people are not like, or from other nations or whatever. For example, you find Edo at the end of Parshas Vayishlach over there. Each king over there came came from a different city, and many of those cities were outside of Edinburgh. Yeah, you have over there, you have Belob and Bowen, and then you have whoever the next
they
one was.
Many
of them, many of them of Horsham explained that they weren't, that they were people from other nations, because the Edomim themselves didn't have anybody who was suitable to be a king, and therefore they had to bring that. You have other examples of history also. You find, for example, many European nations in the 1800s brought in various German princes to be their kings, because they didn't have anybody of their own. So here we're saying the Jewish people are, yes. So here we're saying the Jewish people are not like that. Yeah, okay. That's an example also. So the Jewish people are not like that. We have within us everybody we need. We need Kohenim. We have among the Jewish people ourselves, Nevi'im, and so forth. The Chassam Sofer,
actually. It's always going to be Kohenim.
Yeah, well, yeah. But
they'll never disappear.
They'll never disappear, right. But yeah. So we Jewish people have among us everything that we need. The Chassam Sofer, by the way, points out an interesting thing. He says the acronym of these four things, of these four types that we're saying, Malachim, Tzarim, Nevi'im, is Mishkan. So when we talk about that Hashem established the Mishkan among the Jewish people, it also symbolizes this, that Hashem made us, Mishkan stands for Malachim, Tzarim, Kohenim, Nevi'im. So therefore, it represents this idea that Hashem made us a self-sufficient nation. Shenema, in fact, they have a pasuk in Zechariah that expresses this idea. Mimenu Pinah, Mimenu Yosef, V'Gomer, from them themselves comes the cornerstone, from them comes the peg, representing, in other words, also different kinds of leaders and whatever, that we Jewish people have them all among ourselves. We don't need other nations to give us the leadership and the spiritual and material leadership that we need. Interesting verse, by the way, that's brought on this, connected with this week's parasha from the Oy of Yisrael. He says, so what about the fact we see when it comes to doctors? We see that we don't always have experts, and we don't always have expert doctors in all the different areas of medicine and all the different specialties among Jews. What about that? He says, yeah, the pasuk in this parasha says, maybe nowadays, but certainly not in the Oy of Yisrael times, and even nowadays, you have many times the world experts on one or another disease are going. So how does that fit with our Gemara over here? He says, yeah, but you have a pasuk in this parasha where Hashem says to the Jewish people that I'll take away sickness from you. Meaning, in other words, how should it really be? If a Yid is sick, ideally he shouldn't need doctors at all. He goes to a tzaddik. He goes to a tzaddik, and the tzaddik gives him a bracha, and the tzaddik gardens for him. So that we have among us. The fact that doctors are sometimes needed, that's sort of, so to speak, not part of the original plan. So that's fine. Rapa Yerapa, doctors have the right to heal, but in other words, in principle, if we're Oysin or Sonish Amokim, then we wouldn't need doctors,
on the other hand, we say everybody
goes. Practically speaking, Nifter doesn't necessarily mean you need a person, doesn't necessarily need a doctor before they pass away, but whatever, the point is that when we're saying, when we were talking about the spiritual and material leadership of the Jewish people, the things that are always needed, we always need Kohenim, we always need leaders and whatever, we don't necessarily always need doctors. Okay, continuing on this topic, going back to the matter of the intestines getting put in out of order. There was a case of a goy, is another goy, so Roman, whatever.
Roman?
Yeah, armah would mean an Aramean, armah would mean a Roman, whatever. Dechazulah who gabred enough on the igralah, he saw a person fall off the roof onto the ground. And he saw that the guy's belly had split open, but enough of mayana, and his kishkis, his intestines are sticking out. So the goy wanted to help him. But how do you do it? We just said that if you put back in the intestines out of order, it's going to kill the guy. And according to Rabbeinu Gershom, if you even touch them at all. So what he did is, he took this guy who had fallen off the roof. He took this guy, the bystander, took the victim's son. He pretended to shecht him in front of his father. He didn't actually harm him, but he made like a sleight of hand to make it look like he was killing him. Ingid, that caused the victim, the father who had fallen off the roof, he sighed. Ingid the itnach, he sighed and krecht. Ulamayone, so that caused his intestines to retract. It was like you go like this. And then everything's back in the way it's supposed to be, and then they were able to stitch him up,
Wonderful.
Okay. So we see from that story that it's dangerous to start touching them and fiddling around with them. You have to allow it to get back in normally. Okay. Then we said in the mission, Nishtabru Raglel, we said another case where a bird is kosher is if its legs are broken. So, Tahu Tzana de Inkuri, there was a case with a basket full of inkuri. So inkuri, there's actually two explanations what it means, and Rashi sort of seems to combine the two of them. One is that inkuri means that the birds had their legs broken. And the other,
saw the word before,
didn't we didn't really, no. So inkuri, on the one hand, means birds that had their legs broken. On the other hand, Rashi also mentions that inkuri is the name of a species of bird. Rashi describes it. Akuva means the lower leg. Okay, so you have to keep in mind that birds, like kosher land animals, have three segments in their legs. Just like we've talked about all this time, that land animals have three segments, unlike we who have two, birds are the same thing. They have a thigh bone, a shin bone, and a lower bone. Akuba means the lower bone. So what it is like this. In the next paragraph, we're going to talk about that if an animal or a bird has a broken bone, a compound fracture where the bone is sticking out of the flesh, then that can make it today. On the other hand, if it's not a compound, it's a simple fracture where the broken ends are still within the flesh, that won't in and of itself make it chafe. However, you have the issue, as we've talked about before, about the somas hagidim, about the bundle of tendons over there near the bottom or near one of the joints in the leg, where if any of those are cut, then the animal or bird will be chafe. So Rashi explains, either we're talking about over here they were cut, the bird's legs were broken in the akuba, in the lowest leg. So therefore, it's below the Tzemes HaGidin, so you don't have to worry about it. Or it was above
the
over here. The Tzemes HaGidin is over here. Tzemes HaGidin is at what's the equivalent of a human ankle joint.
The ankle is lower.
Okay. Again, keep in mind, birds' legs are different than ours. This is the equivalent of the sole of a human foot. The akuba, the lowest bone over here, and then you have. Again, keep in mind, birds basically walk on their fingers, unlike we who walk on the palms of our...
This is the hip.
This is the knee. And this is the equivalent of the ankle. So the Tzemes HaGidin, according to many Rishonim, including Rashi, is at the ankle. We'll talk about in the next paragraph. When we get to the Tzemes HaGidin in detail, we'll talk about the more specifics within that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Rashi learns, so one possibility is these birds had their leg broken in the lowest joint, mm-hmm. so therefore it's below the Tzemes HaGidin, there's no problem, or it was above the Tzemes HaGidin. In the middle bone, however, the ends of the bone weren't sticking out, so therefore you still don't have a problem. So again,
but you can live without the Tzemes HaGidin, can't you?
No, we're going to establish later that no, if even one of the Tzemes HaGidin and a bird is cut, then the bird is cursed. Anyway.
You can mean what? Anything, artery, vein?
No. We'll talk about the Tzemes HaGidin or certain specific tendons. Well, we'll get to
tendons.
We'll get to it more in the next paragraph. When it comes to an animal, you have when
Why
it comes
to live without that specific.
I don't know, but that's the Chacham figured out.
A wing.
I don't know, but that's the Chacham figured that out. When it comes to an animal, you have three of them. When it comes to a bird, you have 16 of them. Anyway, the point is that these birds were brought. So Rashi says, first of all, inkuri means that these birds had breaks in their legs. Also, Rashi brings from Shuvas HaGaonim that inkuri is the name of a type of bird. Rashi describes it's a black, it's a water bird that's black and it has white dots on its forehead. So it's called inkuri because it makes it look as though it's been pecked at. The white dots make it look like there's been holes pecked in it, but that's the natural way. It's natural coloring. What kind of bird? Rashi doesn't identify. He just says, you know, in this city we have a lot of them. So it's some kind of water bird, some species of duck or some such thing, probably. Anyway, whatever it is. So there was a basket of these that was brought to Rava. So Rava checked each one of them by the Tzemes HaGidin to make sure that none of the 16 tendons over there had been damaged. And then he declared them kosher. So therefore, so what's the point of that? One point, so what's the point of bringing the story? One thing we see from that is that, yes, this that we're saying in the Mishnah, that if nishtabu ragleh, that if the legs are broken, the bird is kosher, you still have to check the Tzemes HaGidin. That's one point of the story.
It can be a fracture.
Which doesn't affect the Tzemes HaGidin, but if there's any reason to suspect that it affects the Tzemes HaGidin, again, as usual, we often say nowadays, we don't have the expertise to do that kind of bedikah, and therefore, yeah. Matter of fact, it happens sometimes. It happens sometimes that you get it happens sometimes that you get a chicken in the store or whatever, and you find that there seems to be some kind of bruise or whatever around. Remember, when you buy a chicken in the store, the lowest part of the leg is not usually sold with it. They usually cut it off over here. You have the drumstick over here, and then, yeah. So the point is, if you find a bruise in this area over here, so if there's reason to think that it happened after shchita, fine. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens because of the way they're handled in the processing plants. But sometimes there might be concern that it actually happened while the bird is alive, and then you have a real problem because it might have affected the semitagid. That is, by the way, one of the common shayfas they have to check for nowadays. In fact, I saw an interesting reason why. Nowadays, the birds, the chickens in particular, are a lot heavier than they used to be. They breed them to be much heavier, so there's much more strain. So there's much more strain on the joint. So it's much easier for one of the semis to get into break it. Okay. All right.
I still don't understand why a bird wouldn't live because it's semis agidin.
You could ask the same thing about an animal, but that's how it is. It's the same thing with all the other traces. It's not necessarily something that can be explained by modern medicine, but nevertheless, that is a fact. These gidin are considered to be vital to the health and the life.
An ankle, the person lives.
That's true. And we've actually said before that chos chamikan umesa chos chamikan b'choya, that even in connection with hilchos treifas, we see, for example, if you were to cut the tzemes agidin, the animal or the bird would be treif, but if you were to cut off the leg higher than that, it would be kosher, even though that means the entire tzemes agidin is cold. It is gone. That's true. Nevertheless, though, we're still saying if the joint itself is intact, but the tzemes agidin have been, the gidin themselves have been damaged or cut or whatever, then it's straight. Yeah. That's how it is. All right. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, shmutas yad bebehema ksheva. Now, when it comes to a land animal, if one of its front legs was dislocated, then it's still kosher. But if you have a thigh dislocated when it comes to an animal, then it would be treif. Now we learned the other day a couple of times already. We had Rav Machna's din saying that mentioning a concept called buka de'achma b'shoch miduchte. If the hip joint was dislocated, if a thigh bone was dislocated from its socket, then we said it's treif, and we ended up saying only if the ligaments that hold the bones together over there were deteriorated.
And where was that?
We learned it a few times already. So we said there was what we're talking about is that you have this joint over here, the hip joint.
Yeah.
You have a ball and socket joint over there. You have it held together on the outside with some tendons and on the ligaments, whatever. And on the inside, you have one ligament over there. Well, so we said that Rashi and the Rambam argue which ligament is it that if it's deteriorated and rotted away, then the animal is chafed. So anyway, if that particular joint between the pelvis and the thigh is dislocated and the nivi are deteriorated, then the animal is trained. We said that already a couple of times.
I know we said it, but did we say one ligament that makes a trace or all the ligaments make a trace?
According to Rashi, it would be only this one. This one by itself is enough to make it treif. According to the Rambam, it would be these, but Pashtus would be all of them.
The din
is in Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions, but Lamaisa, again, we don't have the expertise to know what's considered deteriorated or not. So if you have a problem with any one of them, yes. Anyway, the question is, when we say over here, Shmutas Yerech Bebehema Treifa, when we say over here that if the thigh of an animal is dislocated, it's treif, is that talking about the same din? Rashi says yes. In which case, even though the Gemara is not specifying it over here, it would mean, as we said before, it's treif only if the ligaments are deteriorated. Tosfos discusses a little bit whether it is the same, and you have a number of Rishonim that also discuss whether it is the same thing or not. Among others, you have explanations that, for example, you have a couple of explanations in the name of the Ravid. One of them is that the case over here we might be talking about is something else, rather. We might be talking about if the pelvis itself is dislodged from the spinal cord.
Right.
So that might be a different thing. That alone might be enough to make it safe, even if no ligaments have been damaged.
Okay.
The other possibility is maybe what it means is not the upper end of the thigh bone, which goes into the pelvis, but rather the lower end of it where it connects to the neck bone. Well, the semitagidin is down over here, but we're talking about at this joint over here, at the knee joint. Maybe that's what the Gemara is talking about over here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. Continues the Gemara, Shmutas Yerech Ba'oivche.
Halachically, today, any of them is treif?
I don't know if any of them are treif. So you have a sophic and different ones of them, and maybe some of them you can do Matu, Behefta, Merubah, I don't know. On the other hand, shmutas yerech ba'oif treifa, when it comes to a bird, if the thigh is dislocated, then it's treif. Shmutas gaf ba'oif treifa, but also, in unlike with an animal, where we said if the front legs are dislocated, then it's kosher. With a bird, if the wings, which are, there's a parallel of the front legs in an animal, if the wings are dislocated, then it's also treifa. Chayshimen shemen nikva hareya, because we have to be concerned that the lungs may have been punctured.
If the wings, before we talk about it,
if the birds were broken, here we're talking about if they're dislocated. The Gemara is saying that we have to be concerned that the lungs may have been punctured. Now, actually, what it is it's not part of the explanation. If it's dislocated, the problem is you have. I've shown you before in the pictures over here. You have all of those air sacs inside the bones of a bird, and. So some of them are inside the wing bones. So therefore, the problem may not be so much that the bone itself was that the wing itself was dislocated, but rather you have a problem that therefore that affects the air sacs that are attached to the lung. Shmuel on a tibodik. Shmuel says it's not necessarily a given that if the wing is dislocated, it's straight. You have to check it. You have to check it. Here's a picture of the air sacs. So here you have, for example, you have the lung in there. The lung in there is shown in darker red, and then the various air sacs are in pink. The air sacs are shown in pink over here, and the lung itself, which is unlike in an animal, doesn't expand.
It's a very
small
lung.
Yeah, that's the point.
It's a very, very small.
It's not long, yes.
So the air is contained in a different cavity than the...
So that's the thing. I was telling you the other day that what it is a bird's respiratory system works differently than an animal's. The lung itself doesn't expand and contract. The air passes through the lungs, but it's the air sacs that expand and contract.
Right.
And the gas exchange itself is done in the lung, but therefore you have that air is passing through and is exchanging in both directions at once, which is more efficient.
Any bird has that?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, at least kosher birds.
At least kosher birds.
I don't know about non-kosher ones. Okay. So Rav is saying, therefore, that if the point is that Rav is telling us that if a wing is dislocated in a bird, then it's automatically treif. That's the point Rav is saying. Well, Shmuel lama tibodik. Shmuel says not necessarily. You can still check it. And Rashi describes you insert a tube through the windpipe, blow into the lung, see if any air leaks out, then it's treif, and if not, then it's kosher. And Rabbi Yechanan says the same thing. You're able to check it if a wing is dislocated. Okay. Chizkiah says that a bird does not have lungs. Now, what do we mean by that? We're going to talk about it in a second. But Rabbi Yechanan says, yes, a bird does have lungs. The lung of a bird is like a leaf of a rose, in other words, in color and then maybe also in size, and it is between the agapayim, between the wings.
The lung is between the wings of the bird.
In other words, they have it in
it's one lung then.
No, well, that's the point. No, well, no, that's what we're saying. So Chizkiah has said ein rei la'oif, that birds don't have a lung. What we mean by that, we're going to explain in a second. And Rabbi Yechon is saying it does have a lung. You know where to find it. Look between the wings. You'll see it. Here you have. That's what we're going to figure out. Hold on. But yeah, that's okay. So there you can see over here. You can see that behind the ribs over there, you have the actual lung itself, and then you have the various air sacs that are inside the different bones. Yeah. So my ein rei la'oif. What does Chizkiah mean when he says that birds don't have a lung? He lamed the less like cloud. Do you mean that? Do you mean birds don't have a lung at all? Of course, we can check ourselves. We see that birds have a lung. Does Chizkiah mean to say, of course, biologically a bird has a lung? However, as far as Hilchot Treifas are concerned, maybe Chizkiah means. Maybe he means that it's not capable of becoming treif if there's a problem with the lung. How could that be? V'hatani Levi, we have a braisa that Levi taught, we've quoted before, treifas shemona chachamim b'behemah k'negden b'oif, all the chafes that the Chachamim listed regarding a land animal also apply to a bird. Yes, there are leim oif, and you have one extra one that applies to a bird. Nishbara etzem, where if the skull is broken, even if the membranes of the brain have not been punctured, because we said we were talking about water birds, which have a very soft membrane. The point being, if we're saying every trefa that applies to a behema applies to an oif, automatically that would include trefas of the lungs. So how could we think that chizkia means that no trefas apply to the lungs of a bird? Ella, ein loy loy linpal v'loy lechmar. No, what we mean is chizkia means like this. If a bird falls off a roof or otherwise has this problem of nephula, we said before, you have to check to make sure internal organs haven't been damaged. You don't have to check the lungs in that case, is what Chizkia is saying. If it falls, not because it can fly. Even we're talking about, let's say its wings were tied or whatever, or like we had before where its wings were stuck or whatever. The point is, you have to check for risk of avarim, but Chizkia is telling us you don't have to check the lungs for reasons that we're going to say in a second. V'loy lichmar, and similarly, that in the case where a bird fell into fire, where we said before, you have to start checking the internal organs. No, lichmar means, like we said, v'nechmaru b'nei me'el, that's internal organs were shriveled or cooked or whatever. You don't have to check the lungs, Chizkia is saying. My time. Now, why should that be? Why shouldn't you have to check the lungs of a bird for either of those cases? Amar Rav Chana, hoyo v'roiv tzal'eiseha meginois aleha. Because the majority of the mass of the ribs protects them, meaning in other words like this: when it comes to an animal, when it comes to a land animal, its ribs are like this. You have the flat of them is the flat of them is along the sides of the animal. You have the ribs of one rib, intercostal muscle, the ribs of another rib, etc. So therefore, in other words, the ribs themselves are not particular. I mean, they're thick. They're thick because we're talking about an animal, but relative to their width, they're not so thick. They're wider than they are thick. So therefore, in a certain sense, the rib cage of an animal doesn't protect its lungs as much. On the other hand, with a bird, you can see over here, it's the other way around. The ribs are at a 90-degree angle compared to where they are in an animal. You have the thickness of each rib, the ribs of each rib goes from the outside to the inside of the animal. You have the sharp, the edges of the ribs stick out into the body cavity.
Right.
Therefore, it means, in other words, that you have a much thicker, relatively speaking, relative to the size of the creature, you have a much thicker rib protecting the lungs. Therefore, we could be saying that if a bird falls off a high place or whatever, where you have a problem with risk of avarim, it's much less likely to happen that there'd be a problem with the lungs because they're more protected by the thickness of the ribs. And similarly,
small birds.
Yeah, because relatively speaking, relative to their size, and the same thing as far as them getting affected by fire, they're less likely to because you have the entire thickness of the rib protecting them from the outside as opposed to the entire larger dimension of the rib.
Much more easily if they're so big.
Okay, in other words, here's a rib, for example. In animals, you have rib, 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 etc. So the thickness of the rib relative to the width of it is not that much.
Right.
With birds, it's the other way around, rib, rib, rib. So you have the entire length of the rib is protecting them, and therefore you. Okay, so the question is, if that's fine, but if you're going to say that that's what Chizkia meant, that Chizkia agrees, of course, that biologically birds have lungs. He's just saying that as far as certain genome of traces of lungs, it doesn't apply to them. The problem is, given that Rabbi Yochanan has to tell Chizkia, yeshloi, that birds do have lungs, the yeshna ka'ala shalvered ben agapayim, and it's like a rose leaf, which it actually, by the way, says, also besides it means the color, it also means it's thin. It's a very thin walls. Like bein agapayim, between the wings. So if Rabbi Yechanan has to inform him that, the call the Chizkia Sava Delasva. It sounds like Chizkia is saying it doesn't have a lung at all. And Rabbi Yechanan has to inform him of the biological fact. So what does it mean? It obviously can't mean that Chizkiyah is talking about that it has a different din, because then Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to inform him that that's called a shover. Ella Amri Dmar Rav Meshmed Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. So they say in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Midvarav Shabiribi, based on what Biribi, which means Chizkiyah, who is again the God of Shabadore, based on what he's saying, Nika Sheini Baki B'Tanu Dolam. Apparently he's not so familiar with chicken. So Rashi says it's Loshen B'Dichusa. It's like a joking way of saying, like the Chizkiyah doesn't eat chicken very often, therefore he's not familiar with what they look like. On the other hand, you have a number of Mephoshim talk about, yeah, I mean, how is Chizkiyah talking about a din if he doesn't know the facts? So one of the explanations is that, of course, Chizkiyah knew that they have. What it is like this. Chizkiyah had heard from his Rebbeim that the lungs of birds are, because he heard from his Rebbeim that the lungs of birds are different than the lungs of animals as far as the Hilchos Shreifas that we just mentioned, and in fact other ones also. For example, this we talked about earlier, we talked about on Mem Zayin, that the lung has a certain shape, the lung of an animal has a certain shape, it has X number of lobes, etc. Birds don't have that. The lung of a bird isn't divided into lobes. So therefore what it is Chizkiyah misunderstood that to be saying that they don't have a lung at all. Because if he heard from his Rebbeim that it doesn't have the din of a lung, then he may have, one possibility is he misunderstood that to mean that therefore what we see over there doesn't have the
isn't considered. They don't need lungs because they have one.
That's the point, because they have the air sacs, that's the point. Nevertheless, though, the point is that Chizkiyah heard from his Rebbeim that the lungs of a bird are different in many ways than the lungs of an animal. They don't have lobes and so forth, and he may have therefore misunderstood that to mean that the lung doesn't exist b'chlal, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan has to correct him and tell him there is in fact a lung. It's just
Rabbi Yochanan is a bit right, but he doesn't know a bit.
That's right. So when the Gemara says shabaribi nika sheni boki b'tan golem, it means yeah, he's not familiar enough. But nevertheless, if you ask the question, how does a gadol shabadodo not know? It's because he took what his Rebbeim had taught him, and therefore when he's looking an actual chicken, he misunderstood what he's seeing and didn't realize that this is an actual chicken. Because that's the thing, he's questioning on it based on what he learned from his Rebbeim. But okay, fine. All right. Omer of Huna Omer Rav, Shmutas Yerach Ba'oich Kshera. Now, before we learned, we said that if a bird has its leg has its thigh dislocated, we said it's chitif.
Right.
Now we have differently. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, Shmutas Yerach Ba'oich Kshera, that it's kosher. And by the way, you have to show him talk about logical reasons that you might say there might be a difference. Usually, we said before, Levi says whatever applies to an animal applies to a bird. One possibility is an animal stands on four legs. If the integrity of the legs is gone, what does it have to hold itself up? As opposed to a bird flies, it has wings or whatever. So therefore, maybe there's reason to be makel. Okay. Anyway, so Rav Huna is saying that if the bird has a hold on. Omele Rabba Bar Rav Huna L'Rav Huna. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna asks Rav Huna, how could that be? V'ho Rabbanon De'osim Pumbedissa Omru, the Chachamim who came here from Pumbedissa, Rav Huna lived in Sura, Omru, they said that Rav Yehuda Meshmei the Rab Omer Shmutat Yerach Ba'oif Tureifa, that Rav Yehuda had said in the name of Rab that if a bird has a dislocated thigh, whatever, then it's Tureif. So how are you saying in the name of Rab? Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rab, it's Jay. How are you saying in the name of Rab, it's kosher? Amalei, so Rav Huna answers him, Bri, my son, you should know. The answer is Nara, Nara, Upashte. Every river has its own course. We actually had this expression earlier in the Masechta. There, Rashi explained that it means that a river tends to spread out. The water of a river spreads out in its normal floodplain or whatever, yeah. Here, Rashi explains a little differently. Different rivers have different kinds of currents. Some have a fast current, some have a slow current. The point is, different places have different menhagim.
Right.
Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, what happened was, Rav actually held its kosher, like Rav Huna says. However, Rav saw that in Pumbedissa, they had the minhag to declare it osur, so therefore Rav did not want to contradict their minhag. So he didn't tell them in so many words that it's today, but he didn't tell them it's kosher because he didn't want to contradict the minhag. Rav Yehuda, being from Pumbedissa, he thought that Rav meant by that, by not saying anything, he agreed that in fact it is today for halacha, and not just that he was letting the b'nai think it. So Rav Huna is saying, really, Rav held it's kosher. However, in Pumbedissa, they had the minhag. The actual din is it's today. Yeah.
Why?
Because the fact is, we had at the beginning of the Omer, we had Rabbi Yehuda telling us in the name of Rav, that's straight. Okay, very nice. Maybe it started only as a minute of a Pumbedissa. Okay, but nevertheless, fine. also Rav Abba. So then Rav Abba.
You just say the last opinion is that it is.
No, not necessarily. That's when they have two different Lashonis in the Gemara. Here it's not two different Lashonis. Here it's Rav Yehuda versus Rav Ona. Fine. Okay. Also Rav Abba, after the Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, one time Rav Abba went and he found Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, the kabodik b'tzemis agidin. Now you had a case where a bird had a broken leg and Rav Yirmiyah is checking the and Rav Yirmiyah. The Pasha is the new story.
No, but it's the son of Rav Yirmiyah.
No, maybe not necessarily. No, probably not. No, because the lashon that he's using over there here doesn't. Yeah. Okay. The Pashas is different, Rav Abba. Anyway, he found Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba. You had a case where a bird had a broken leg, and Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba is checking the semis agidim, like we said before, that Rav did. Amalei, lomalei, lamar, kulai. So Rav Abba asks, why do you, Rebbe, have to go to that extent? Didn't we just say that Rav Huna says in the name of Rav that if the leg is dislocated, it's kosher? In other words, the point is, if we're saying it's kosher with the leg dislocated, that means, in other words, the giddin are not doing their job because the whole leg was dislocated, and yet we're saying the bird is kosher. So why should he have to check the sentence of giddin when you have a break near there?
Why should he have to check, or why not?
Why should you have to check? If Rav Huna is saying in the name of Rav that even if the entire leg is dislocated, which is the equivalent, as far as we're concerned, it might as well be gone completely.
Right.
And therefore, the same is like giddin with it, and you're still saying it's kanan, and you're still saying it's kosher. So why, when you have a break near there, should you have to check the same as like giddin?
The question is, how can you say it's kosher when the hip is dislocated and it can affect the giddin?
So, but now we see the other way around. That Rav Huna is telling us, Rav Huna Omer Rav obviously knew the Mishnah,
right,
that same as like giddin is a problem. Yet he's telling us if the entire leg is dislocated,
right,
then the bird is kosher. So why, if you have a break near there, should you have to be checking the same as like giddin? Amalei, so Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba answers him, Anomach Nisin Yadayna. Okay, never mind what Rav Huna is saying. I know what it says in the Mishnah, in the next Perek, Behema Shenechtechu Raglam and Akuba Lamata Kshedah, that if you have an animal whose legs were chopped off from the Akuba and downward, the Akuba being the lowest joint over there, the ankle joint, then it's kosher. Mina Akuba Lamayla Sula, but if it's cut off above the Akuba, above the joint, that's chafe. The chain should be called semis agidin, and the same thing if a semis agidin is missing. And the Omer Rav and Rav said about that. The Omer Rav Allah and Rav says regarding that Mishnah, the chain ba'oif. Just the same rules apply to a bird. That if the semis agidin is removed, it's safe. So therefore, yes, I have to check the semis agidin to make sure that they weren't removed or damaged. So the question is, Yehochi Kasha the Rav of the Rav. Don't you end up with a contradiction between two statements of Rav? On the one hand, he's saying that the whole leg is dislocated as kosher. On the other hand, he's saying that with a bird, that if there's so much a gidin I'm missing, then it's true. So Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba was quiet. Now, not quiet necessarily because he didn't have an answer. We're going to see soon. There is a possible answer. He didn't agree that that's a valid question.
It's a very valid question.
Okay, wait. Amalei. So then Rav Abba said to him, Dilma Shani Le Ben Shmuta Lachatucha. Maybe there's a difference between whether the leg was dislocated versus when it was cut. Maybe what we would be saying is if the whole leg is dislocated, then yes, it's kosher, or even if the whole leg is missing. But if it's cut or broken, even if it's just the same as a giddin are affected, then it would be kosher. Maybe there's a difference.
If it's dislocated,
then it's kosher, but if it's cut, then it would be kosher. Amalei, sort of Yirmiyah Bar Abba answers Rav. He says, "The Atma Farishas Shmaitzes Rav." So you're figuring this out on your own. You should know. Actually, Beferush Amar Rav. You should know. That's exactly what Rav answered. Shmuta Ksheira Chatzuch Apsola. If the leg is dislocated, it's kosher. But if it's cut, or if the semis agidin are cut, then it's straight. And again, Val Tikva. Don't be so surprised about that, because we've said already a few times. Shari Chos Chamikan Vamesa Chos Chamikan Vachoisa. Because you can have cases where you cut an animal or a bird in one place and it makes it safe and it kills it. And you cut it in a similar place elsewhere and it remains kosher. In other words, you can't draw analogies within Shreifas from one thing to another. So the same thing over here, yes, you could say that there's a difference. The leg being dislocated, you would think, well, the same as a giddin are not accomplishing their function, therefore it should be Shreifas. No, it can still be kosher. However, the same as a giddin themselves, they're cut, then it can be Shreifas. Yeah, there can be that.
At the level of the
same as a giddin, at the level of that joint, yeah. Yeah.
What's the conclusion?
So far, what we're saying is, so we're going to continue the discussion tomorrow, Beth Hashem, but so far, what we're saying is, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba is saying that, yes, Rav actually said there's that difference. There's a difference between whether it was dislocated versus when it was cut. If it's dislocated, then it's kosher, we're saying. Rav would say.
So
that's a Gideon? No, even if the entire leg is missing, you wouldn't, and the seventh Gideon of necessity are gone, then you don't have to check. However, if it's cut, and even if it's only the seventh Gideon alone that are cut, then it would be true. So Tosfos just explains slightly differently that nifla doesn't mean that the leg is missing as a whole. It just means dislocated, unlike Rashi saying even if the leg as a whole was missing, because we looked before, the whole leg is missing, the animal is nevela, actually. So Tosfos discusses that we learned before that if you have a visible hole over there when the animal is sitting down, then you said it's nevela, yeah. So Tosfos says, okay, maybe we're not talking about that the leg being cut off as a whole, we just mean the top end of the bone being dislocated versus from the hip bone versus the same as a Gideon being cut. So similar to Rashi, but a slight different variation.
So
the bottom line is, just so far, we haven't concluded yet, but so far, just because Rav says that if the same as a Gideon is cut, the bird is straight, it doesn't necessarily follow from that if the leg was cut off or dislocated, that it should also be traced. Not necessarily. You can't draw analogies like that from one thing to another.
The leg is missing, it's traced.
Okay. Rashi is saying even if the leg as a whole is missing, it could be kosher. Tosfos says if the entire leg is missing and you have a visible hole there in the pelvis, then it would be traced. What we mean
so
is in the halacha is that if the bird's leg is dislocated, it's traced. Is missing, then okay, so if it's missing and you see a hole over there, then it's straight, so it's cut off. If it's cut off and the semis are getting affected, then it's going to be kosher.
If it's cut off, the semis are getting will be affected.
That's what if it's cut off above the semis are getting, such as the semis are getting themselves are not implicated because it's cut off above them, then fine, it's also kosher. Yeah.